Well, let's stand for the honor of reading God's Word as we continue in our series this morning in Matthew, as we look through Matthew. Where this is still really the Sermon on the Mount. We looked at the Beatitudes several weeks ago and still continuing in the same message here. We're going to read Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. It says, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye'? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." Let's pray. Lord, as we look at your word today, I pray, God, that you'd speak to us, that you would reveal to us your truth. And Lord, to help us to be able to live this out and to embrace what you are saying. And Father, help us to be people who will honor you and live for you. Help me, Lord, to preach this clear and plain, so plain that a child could understand. And I realize and understand the judgment on my life and being a preacher of the gospel, and I accept that place. Therefore, it's in Jesus' name that I pray and in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So we read the verse, Matthew 7, 1, that verse there, "Do not judge." Do not judge. That is the most quoted and most known verse in our society now. Every pagan in America knows this verse. Do not judge, right? I mean, more than John 3:16 is Matthew 7:1. Even though they don't cite the book, chapter, and verse, they quote part of this, what we just read. Do not judge. Can't judge me. How many of y'all have ever heard that? Raise your hand if you've ever heard. Well, you can't judge me. Can't judge me. Some people even, that's right. Some people even and get a big tattoo on their neck. You know, I'll be judged by no man or something. You know, I mean, just this idea we have, you know, well, you can't judge me. But you have to take a verse in its context. So kind of give you a little interpretation key here to unlock as you look at Scripture. Any text without a context is a pretext, and any pretext can be used to say and whatever you want it to say. And so when you have a text, you must read it in its context. And when we read the whole verse, see, we don't cite this whole verse. We only cite part of the verse. Do not judge. But he goes on and he talks about how that before you were to take the speck out of an eye, you must remove the beam out of your eye. And then you can take the speck out. And then he goes on to say, do not give what is holy to dogs. Sounds judgmental. Do not cast your pearls before swine. So obviously there is some judgment that must go on. He goes on, he talks about broad is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the gate that leads to everlasting life. He goes on in chapter 7 and says, beware of the false prophets and the false teachers. By your fruit, you will know them. A bad tree does not produce bad fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit, and a good tree produces good fruit. A good tree doesn't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree doesn't produce good fruit. So that's using some type of judgment. So we've got to ask ourselves, what is Jesus saying when he's telling us to not judge? And so the title this morning in this message, if you want to put a title on it, is to judge well. He's not saying that we can never judge. We're going to talk about what kind of judgment we are to do. But we are to judge well. We are to do it when our eye is clear. When our eye is clear, we can bring judgment. So before we talk about what it means, let's talk about what it doesn't mean, okay? It doesn't mean that since you have a speck in your eye, then you just got to let everything go. You know, well, you know, we're not perfect, so who am I to say that what they're doing is wrong? Because I don't always do what's right. Right? So that's one way that we kind of interpret this, and what that basically does is just that let everybody just kind of does what they want to do, and you know, I can't really say much because, you know, and we use that as an excuse to sin. You know, well, I've got my problems, they got their problems, we all got our problems. And we don't deal with our problems. We just say, well, we all got problems, so we all just act out rather than dealing with our problem. Agree? Huh? How many of y'all have ever used it that way? We live in an age of a postmodern world, and everything's very relative, right? Like, well, you know, it could be right for you. It's not wrong for you. It's not necessarily wrong for me. And, you know, I can choose to believe whatever I want to choose to believe. And we all just need to, you know, it's just this relativism that is in our culture, in our society. I was listening to a pastor. He's telling of a time when he did a counseling with this mother came to him and said, I need my son to talk to you. He's away from college and he is just going crazy. I mean, he's drinking all the time and he's not going to classes and he's not doing well in school and he's just doesn't want to ever go to church and he's all this stuff. And so they come together and they meet and he could sense that this kid was angry. He says, oh, what are you angry about? And she's like, it's my mother. She's so judgmental. She's always pushing and cramming religion down my throat and talking to me about church and saying what I'm doing is wrong and all this stuff. And I just can't stand it. He said, well, what is your ethic that you live by? You know, what's your way of thinking and living your life? He says, well, I think everybody ought to be able to do their own thing. And he says, well, what if your mom's thing is cramming religion down your throat? And he's like, oh. You see the problem with that, right? If everything's relative, well, it's just it all just muddies and it doesn't work. It's like the people that try to say there's no absolute truth. There's no moral absolutes, so there's no absolutes. And they'll make a statement, there is no absolute truth. Do you see the problem with that statement? What's the problem? They just made an absolute truth statement. They absolutely said, there is no absolute truth. Well, how do you know that? There's no absolute truth, right? You see how that is? And so we got to think here, because what we do is we turn ourselves, we take this verse, do not judge, to mean like, well, you should just be able to do whatever you want. That's not what he's saying. In fact, he also doesn't mean this. It also doesn't mean that you cannot discern right from wrong, or that you cannot call good good and evil evil. He's not saying that you can't do that. We must discern between what is right and what is wrong. Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 say, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. The Bible speaks of the necessary fact that we are to be discerning. There is a judgment that we are to have. We are to be able to know what is good and what is evil, what is right and what is wrong. And if you side with what is right, that doesn't make you an evil person. Well, how dare you say that something's wrong? What's un-American? What are you talking about? Who are you to say that that's wrong? There is standards that we have, that God has, that we hold as Christians, that the standard is the Word of God. And that if something goes against the Word of God, we can say, this is out of bounds. This is wrong. This is not correct. Right? So we have in our culture, I mean, there's nothing new under the sun. It's been crazy ever since the fall. All right? But we have such a sexually immoral spirit and confusion over our nation and over our world, really. And we're so confused. There is a difference between calling something right and calling something wrong, and calling something good and calling something evil. There is a difference between stating that fact and calling someone evil and bad. There's a difference between the spirit of the sin and the person committing the sin. Here's what I mean by that. Let me make sure I'm clear in communicating this. Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and the spirit and the darkness of the air. So there is a spirit of immorality that a person engages in, correct? The enemy is not the person. The enemy is that oppression, that influence, that demonic influence, okay? And so we can call that evil. So sexual immorality, we can say that adultery is a sin. We can say that's out of bounds. That's not of God. And we can stand for that. That doesn't mean we hate everybody that's committed adultery and that we think people that's committed adultery, oh, they're those evil people. Homosexuality is a sin according to Scripture. It's not of God. And we can say that this isn't of God, and not be hateful and bigoted and mean. And like, you know, it's not like, well, how dare you say that that's a sin? Well, I'm just going by what the Bible says. I'm not going to attack you and say something to you. I'm not going to inflict pain on you, because I'm not saying you're an evil person. I'm saying homosexuality is a sin. I'm saying premarital sex is a sin. That's wrong. Yeah, I know I'm old-fashioned, aren't I? I'm just trying to line up with Scripture. It doesn't matter if our society says you can just live together. It doesn't matter. You don't even have to be married. You all can just play and act like you're married even when you're not married. If society says that's okay, it's still not okay. No matter if the majority says it's okay, it's not okay. If the Bible says it's not okay. Let's just take a real-world example of what we're going through now. Let's get real into our world. This whole transgender issue, this whole thing, it's not right. It's not of God. There is a spirit of confusion and immorality that is attacking our culture. Guys, just think about this. This is just common sense. For a guy to think he is a woman, I'm not trying to be funny, for a guy to think he's a woman, that's not right. That's not of God. It's not right. That's not being judgmental. That's not me being, oh, Grant, look at him. He's, you know, he's one of those preachers. No, that's just saying there's good and there's evil. That this whole issue that's going on, that our president thinks that he can control what goes on in our public schools, is not right. This is not of God. We can say that, and we don't have to belittle and attack that person, but we can stand for what is right and what is wrong. So people who struggle and battle and are entrapped, You pray and you love. You reach out. You share. You share the gospel. Okay? You don't applaud it. You don't promote it. You don't say, well, I'm just so proud of you for you standing up for who you are. I hear Christian people do that. I hear Christian people say, well, I tell you what, I don't agree, but I'm just so proud of the way that you stand up for what you believe in. When they stand up for what they're believing in, it's not of God. How do you applaud that? You can't, and you're not being judgmental when you do, okay? Again, let's look at some other verses. Jesus says in John 7:24, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Judge based on what is true. What is the standard? John 1 John 4:1 says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have come into the world. So he even challenges the church, test the spirits. You must have judgment. When you hear me preach, judge it by what the Word of God says. If I say something that's not backed up by Scripture, don't believe it. The standard is the Word of God. There was a moment that in the Corinthian church, they were crazy. You think we're bad? They were bad then too. I mean, just again, nothing new under the sun. I mean, they were a messed up church. And Paul's writing a letter to them, and he would be considered in our culture today of writing hate speech, because he went through and told them, this is wrong, this is wrong, you're doing this, all this, you got to stop it. You got to stop it. They had a guy that was having a sexual affair with his mother-in-law. It was messed up, and he says, this has got to stop. This is not of God. Was he being judgmental, or was he just using discernment and judgment based on the Word of God? And so he writes and he says, I'm not telling you to disassociate with people from the world, but what I'm telling you is to exercise judgment within the house of God, he says. And so if you're on Facebook and you're putting goofy stuff on there and you're talking about things that are not of God, then someone could comment underneath you and say, that's not of God. And it wouldn't mean they're being judgmental if you are, in fact, behaving or doing things in a way that is contrary to the Word of God. Does that make sense? So that's not what this is speaking of. We are to use judgment. We are to discern. We are to know right from wrong. So what's he talking about here then? What kind of judgment are we not supposed to do? The Greek word judge here can have multiple meanings, and so that's why the context is extremely important. What I believe that Jesus is speaking of, there are two ways of judging that we should not engage in. One is being overly critical, and one of putting ourselves in place as the judge, where we hammer down the gavel and we convict you and condemn you and say, you are guilty, this is going to be your penalty. We don't have that authority. Let's talk about the first one that we shouldn't do. Now, we shouldn't be overly critical of other people. Before we go and try to take the speck out of the eye of somebody else, we got to make sure that we got that beam out of our own eye, right? You know, Sean, I noticed that you got a little respect. Let me get that for you. You know, we don't want to be overly critical. Here's how this works. We'll start off with some kind of maybe funny examples. We'll get moving in. Here we go. You're on 64. You're driving down 64. I mean, y'all drive down 64. Here we go. And you're going 75. And then all of a sudden, somebody zooms by, vroom, and you go, whoa! Meg, I was speeding. So were you. Right? You're going 75. Yeah, but I was only going 5 miles over the speed limit. They had to have been going 15 or 20. Yeah, but you were speeding too, right? But it's so easy for us to be critical of somebody else, right? I mean, just the Eastern Kentucky people, they get discriminated against all the time. We'll go to the sophisticated city of Lexington. And they'll hear us talk. And they'll go, Lord, this person's got to be stupid. They'll judge us by the way that we speak. And, you know, we could be one of the most educated people, and they wouldn't even know it. As soon as we talk, they're like, man, they don't know anything. I tell you what, I think some of the smartest people are the farmers. Yeah, they got time driving on a tractor, getting life, seeing things. They see things. They see things for how they really are. And I would rather get wisdom from an old farmer than someone that's got a philosophy degree out of college. I guarantee that. So you can't be overcritical. Here's one that we do sometimes, and maybe you do, maybe not, I don't know. But this does happen, I'm sure. You go to the Asian buffet or Chinese buffet. And you go to the buffet line, and you go through there, and you start getting your plate. And then you see somebody walk in that is extremely overweight. And you look at them, and you think, what in the world are they doing at a buffet? They don't need to be going to a buffet. That's the problem, is they be going to too many buffets. That's what you think. And they may, you may go through the line 5 times and get 5 old plates. And they may have only eaten 2. Ann Lander, several years back, there was a column that in the paper that she wrote, and this lady wrote in and of an observation that she had. She says, I was at the grocery store the other day, and I saw this woman in her grocery cart, and she had an expensive cake in there. There was shrimp. There was all kinds of extravagant foods that she had in her grocery cart, and I saw her pay with that with food stamps. And I thought, what do you think about that? They're buying that with food stamps. I don't even buy that. I don't even spend my money on what she's got in her grocery cart, and she's using her food stamps to buy that. Well, a couple weeks later, there was another article written back from that lady, and she says, I was reading the article in the paper, and I realized that woman was talking about me. And indeed I did, by all the stuff that she said that I bought. I bought an expensive cake, shrimp, and all that stuff that this woman saw me buy. And she says what she doesn't know is that my 8-year-old daughter is terminally ill, and this will be her last birthday that she'll ever have. So we thought we would just have a huge celebration. Kind of changes your perspective, doesn't it? We should be very slow to criticize and critique and be critical of others and first examine ourselves. So that's one way that we shouldn't judge. The second way that we shouldn't judge is to play the role of the judge and act like we are the authority and that we make the standards. There has already been a standard set. Okay? So we don't have to come up with the standards. We're judged by the one standard. And we're all judged by the one standard. And so we don't have to play the role as God. And to condemn somebody and say, you're going to hell. Now we can preach the gospel and let people hear the truth. And they can choose to respond or not respond. Again, this is where discernment comes in. Jesus says, do not throw your pearls before swine. There are times when people don't want to hear the gospel. You cannot argue your way into someone's heart with the gospel. You have to be wise in even sharing the gospel. If someone doesn't want to hear the gospel, beating them over the head with the Bible and screaming at them is going to do you no good. How many of y'all gotten some Bible arguments with people? You know, I mean, you just yelled at them. You know, I tell you what, you better trust in Jesus. You know, I mean, here you are yelling your head off about the love of Jesus. And you get in this big argument. There's sometimes when you just shake the dust off your feet and you go on. That's what Jesus told the disciples. If you go into the city and they welcome you, go in there, share. If you go to a city and they don't want you, they don't want to hear you, shake the dust off your feet and you go on. Sometimes you do more damage by trying to hit them. You just got to move on to someone else. Jesus came, and he made some really neat statements here. Look at John chapter 12, starting with verse 44. And Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me does not believe in me, but in him who sent me." Saying, you believe in the Father. If you believe in me, that's telling me you believe in the Father. "He who sees me sees the one who sent me. I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my sayings," now watch this, this is what Jesus says, "if anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him in the last day." See, you don't have to judge. His word judges. His word judges. If you won't believe in Jesus and trust in him and follow his standards, then I don't have to judge you. Someone else doesn't have to judge you. You've already been judged by the word of God. You're already judged. What is the greatest sin of the Bible? You know, we like to rank sins, right? And we like to think, well, if I'm not doing that sin, then I'm not as bad as somebody else. You know, I may have a little bit, I might have mistakes. I don't do those big sins. And we rank them, right? We try to rank. Do we not? Is that true? Don't we rank sins? Well, I don't do that. If you had to rank them, if you had to say, what's one of the greatest, what's the number one sin? What's the top one? It'd be unbelief. If you had to rank top sin, it'd be the sin of unbelief. Now, in the New Testament, we have an instance when Jesus is speaking to some folks and he goes into a town. And he tries to do his works, and he tries to minister, and they will not believe in him. They have unbelief, and so they reject him. And he brings up Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember Sodom and Gomorrah? Some of you have been in church for a long time. You know about Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah were known for their homosexual sin and destruction that God brought on them for that sin. Okay? And listen to what Jesus says to this city that would not believe in him. He says, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Nevertheless, I say to you, it's going to be more tolerable for them on the day of judgment than you." And he says to Capernaum, he says, "Will you be exalted to heaven? You will descend," he says, "to Hades. For if the miracles occurred in Sodom, which occurred in you, it would have remained until this day. Nevertheless," he says, "I say to you that it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you." He says, your unbelief is the greatest sin that you could commit. The one sin that you cannot be forgiven of is the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit, which is the rejection of the gospel of Jesus Christ, can never be forgiven of. If you reject Christ and His offer of salvation, you'll never be saved. You see, I don't have to judge you. His Word judges. John 3:16, we all know this verse, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Go ahead and read verse 17 and 18 while we're at it. You ready? For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, or condemn is what that word would mean, but that the world be saved through Him. Watch verse 18, look. He who believes in Him is what? Is not judged. He who does not believe has been what? Judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see that? If you reject God's offer of grace, and you reject His standards, you're already judged. That's why I don't have to judge you. You're already judged. If you don't believe in Jesus, your unbelief condemns you. That's why I don't have to condemn you. You see that? Here's the good news, guys. Here's the good news. You don't have to be judged. You can be forgiven. Because Jesus, what He did, is He took our judgment on the cross. And the very one who never had a speck of sawdust in his eye, that was completely sinless and perfect, became sin on our behalf. He didn't sin, but He took on our sin. Why? So that we can be forgiven. Paul makes it clear. We're all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, every single one of us. You'll not get by with the sin of unbelief. You'll not do it. You must come to Jesus. If you refuse Jesus, then you will stand accountable for everything that you did. You will be judged by your works if you do not know Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, not in a judgmental, I'm better than you attitude, because I'm right there with you. I am not good enough to stand before God on my own works. You're not either. If you go before Him and stand and never have received Jesus, you will be held accountable for everything you've done. That's why the gospel is such good news. Because you can come and say, Jesus, you know what? I've messed up Your standard. I've sinned. I've not lived up to what You told us to. Would You forgive me? And He will. And He'll adopt you. He'll seal you. And you'll be in His family. And you can be forgiven. Aren't you glad that we're forgiven people? All right. So what do? We use discerning judgment. We do stand for what is right and what is wrong. We do not be overly critical. And we do not pronounce the gavel of condemnation. We offer the salvation of Jesus. Amen. Today, guess what? Some of you need to receive grace today. Some of you have the sin of unbelief right now. Yeah, you've got other sins going on. And they are sin. And they are wrong. And they will kill. But the sin of unbelief and unrepentance, that can't be forgiven if you do not repent. So, what do? We got sin in our life. Do we say, well, I've got some sin, they've got some sin, we all got sin, so We're all not perfect, so I don't deal with my sin. No. We deal with it. We repent. This morning, if you don't know Jesus, don't judge your life by everybody else and say, well, they say they're going to heaven, and they do this, and they do that, and if they go to heaven, then I must go to heaven. Wrong way to think. Because that person you think might be going to heaven, they could be splitting hell wide open. And you join them. Standard is Jesus. Do you know him? Have you trusted him? Have you asked for his grace? Let's pray. Father, this morning, help us, God. Help us to see that we have an opportunity to be set free and forgiven today. Lord, I pray that you would help us as a church and as people to have a spirit of discernment. God, to let us know that there is right and there's wrong, and it's okay to stand for what is right. But we don't make up what is right. We allow your word to determine that. Father, help us to not be overly critical and easily see the flaws in other people while ignoring the flaws in our own life. Help us to get the beam out of our eye so that we can see clearly and judge well. Lord, forgive us if we ever try to play you and pronounce judgment on peoples and condemn them and sentence them for eternity. That's not our job. That's not our role. Help us to be people who have been forgiven and offer forgiveness. Lord, for those this morning that don't know you, that they're battling and they're in sin, I pray, God, you speak to them and help their unbelief today. And may they believe that you paid for their sin and that you died for them so that you might live in them and they might live with you for eternity. So Jesus, if there's someone here today that needs to know you as Lord and Savior, would you speak, draw them out, and may they come. Lord, if we've got burdens on our hearts for others, may we use this altar time as a time to pray. If we just want to come and just confess how much that we love and appreciate you, Lord, and we want to do it here at the front, Lord, just whatever you want to do during this invitation time, may we truly give it to you. In Jesus' name, amen.